hope everybody had a Shvelach in Pesach, a good and happy Pesach. If they try and wait, they try to hold on a little bit to Pesach after it leaves. So there's a good way to hold on to feelings, to hold on to Ruchnias. It sounds like there's an echo, so nothing. Does that sound normal? Is that just a powerful? Nervous. All right. I'm going to learn a piece of Lukud Maran from Rabbi Nachman. I'm going to learn a piece tonight. The second Chelek, the ninth Torah. But how to keep a fire going. How to keep a fire going and how to prevent the fire from burning in a way that it shouldn't burn. That's what we're going to learn. And we'll connect it in a little bit with Hashem, with Sfiras HaOmer, with the counting of the Omer. We'll connect it also, I hope, we'll connect it to Lag BaOmer. Already holding by the time of the year. Rabbi Nachman begins the ninth Torah and the second Chelek with a pasuk in Yechezkel. Listen carefully, because if the beginning is not clear, it's a little bit complicated, a little bit esoteric. So if the beginning is not clear, then the rest of the discussion tonight will be more meaningless than usual. Let's put it to you that way. I was going to say less meaningful, but I think more meaningless than usual. It says in the pasuk in Yechezkel, "Al asher yiyeh shama haruach lalechus yaleichu." The pasuk says, the verse says in Yechezkel, in the first chapter of Yechezkel, that amazing first chapter, that they went straight forward wherever the wind pushed them to go, they went. That the wind, the ruach, has the power to push angels, to push. The essential quality of the wind, of ruach, is its ability to cause things to move, to push. It pushes. That's what it says in the first chapter in Yechezkel. So Rabbi Nachman brings from the Tikkuni Zohar. So Rabbi Nachman brings from the Zohar Kaddish. Kulu arken de liba misnagin bosa ruch. All of the paths of the heart, all of the veins, the paths, the ways, the arteries, all of the parts of the heart, a misnagin bosa ruch, are directed, or under the control of the ruach, of the wind. With the chesiv, as it's written, "El asher yiyeh haruach lalechus," that brings this pasuk. Da'ainu haruach hayoytzi mikanfei hareya. So the Zohar tells us that the quality of the lungs is that the lungs have a certain part that's called the kanfei hareya, like the wings of the lungs. The job of the lungs is to somehow. Could you close the door, please? The job of the lungs is to somehow exhale, or to cause there to be a wind that is blown upon the heart. And the Zohar says, "Ki el mole kan fereya denash ben aliba haviliba eikid kol gufa." If not for the wind, for the ruach that is blown by the lungs upon the heart, in other words, if the lungs would not cool off the heart with this wind, then the heart would burn the entire body, Rabbi Nachman says. The heart would destroy the body. Ka'ayedei haruach mechaben haner umadliken haner. There are two effects that wind, that ruach, has upon a candle, upon a flame. On the one hand, ruach, the Rabbi says, mechaben haner. On the one hand, wind has the usual property of extinguishing the flame. It puts out a fire. Wind can put out a fire. Umadlikin haner. However, wind, as you know, also can help to cause the fire to get going, to make the fire stronger. Why is that? So he says, kanir b'chush, as we see with our eyes, as we can see. Now the description here is not scientific, or it's scientific according to the understanding of Rabbi Nachman, which is enough for me. Shelefamim nichbe haner al yidei haruach hamenashe. That a wind can put out the candle, the fire, we know. Ulefamim adlikan haner shenichbe yidei ruach shemenashbam bo ki kibui haner hu al yidei shenoyfel al haner afruriyos v'nifrod n'chelke ha'esh. So Rabbi Nachman says, what causes a fire to be extinguished aside from, of course, water or a wind that is too strong? So he says that sometimes there are little particles of dust, afruriyos, little particles of dust that are clogging up the flame, that are obstructing the flame from burning. And this causes the chelke ha'esh, the parts of the flame, to become dispersed and separated. V'einim yicholim liv'or, so that the flame cannot burn properly. V'al ken kishemenapchim bo, azay haruach menapeach min haner ha'arfurios. So sometimes, Rabbi Nachman says that by blowing on the candle, not too hard, but by blowing a little bit, it will blow away these tiny little particles of dust that are obstructing the flame from moving properly. You can see this. That are obstructing the flame from growing and from developing and from all the little parts of the flame from uniting properly by blowing off these little particles of dust. And by doing this, the parts of the flame are able to be restored to one another. And they are able to burn. The flame is able to burn. No. What does this really mean? This we see in nature. We see in the world there is such a thing that the wind has two effects upon a flame. It puts out a flame, but on the other hand, it has the opposite effect that it can cause the flame to burn better by removing these little particles. So the wind has two effects upon fire. Now what does this mean, really? In Avodas Hashem, Umanhige hador hem bechinas ruach. The leaders of a generation, the tzaddikim, are called the ruach, the wind, or the spirit of the generation. K'mo shekosuv, as is written in Bamidbar, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to choose a fitting successor, meaning Yehoshua. So you remember what it says there? Ish asher ruach bo, a man of the spirit, meaning a person who is in control of wind. Listen carefully what that means. A man of the spirit, a man who's in control of the blowing of the winds. And what does Chazal say that Rashi brings down? Sheyadei lahaloch neged rucho shel kol echad ve'echad. Remember Rashi said over there, that why is it necessary to choose a successor, Isha sheruach bo, a man of spirit? So Chazal tells us that the meaning of that is, a man who knows how to walk with the spirit of each and every Jew. Meaning, the Jewish people must have a leader who understands the soul and the spirit and the nature of each different Jew. A certain Jew needs a patch sometimes, right? A smack. And another Jew needs a hug. And you need a leader that knows how to go neged rucha shekol echad ve'echad. He knows how to direct the spirit and the wind. The feelings and the emotions, the thoughts of each person, each according to what that person needs. In other words, if you have a Jew that even a fine Jew, a Talmud Chacham, a scholar, a tzaddik, and he insists on a certain way and a certain path, and he believes that that path must necessarily apply to every single Jew, we've already seen how many Jews can be destroyed by such a rigid way of practicing Yiddishkeit. That everything has to be this way. The greatness of a tzaddik is that he's able to understand within halacha, never, ever, God forbid, to change one letter of the Torah, of the Shulchan Aruch, God forbid, follow Jewish law completely. But to know the ruach of each one. The ruach of each one. I was talking on Yom Tov to a special friend of mine. I was telling him that it says that, you know, when we were walking in the desert, so we had two interesting things that followed us around. One by day and one by night. You remember? By night we had Amud Esh, a pillar of fire. And by day, there was a cloud. So I was thinking that perhaps the meaning of that is is that sometimes when things are when things are going too well for a person, what does that mean too well? When he feels a little bit overly confident and everything comes easy, and the person stops a little bit thinking and checking and looking and scrutinizing, he feels that it's a yom. Everything is clear, he knows everything. Then there's an amud anan. Then there's a cloud, a pillar, a cloudy pillar, to remind him that he doesn't know, and that all he sees is through a cloud, and that he must depend upon Hashem. But then you have a Jew who's holding, God forbid, in the night time of his life, he's going through a very difficult and dark time, when it's almost impossible to strengthen himself in the service of Hashem, and then he must see an amud esh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends before him a pillar of fire to illuminate his life, to raise his feelings. And amud esh. And a true tzaddik is a person asher ruach bo, a man of the spirit. He knows when to light fires, and he knows when to quiet fires down. He knows when to light a flame, and he knows when to put a flame out. Now let's see what that means. V'Yisrael hem b'chinas liba, and the Jewish people are the heart of the world. The Jewish people are the heart of the world. This is a concept that's familiar to us already from the Kuzari and from Chazal and different places, that the Jewish people are referred to as the heart of the world. Ki Yisrael hem liba de kol alma, says Nazar, we are the heart of the world. And the leaders of the Jewish people must know how much wind and how to blow the spirit or the wind upon the Jewish people who are the heart of the world. Because the heart must burn properly, must feel, must have a fire. So the tzaddikim know how to blow upon the Jewish people. Shem liba da'amal and afech mehem ha'afruyis. First, the tzaddikim know how to blow away from us the particles of dust, of dirt, of schmutz, of filth. Which here the Rebbe says, da'hain lemar shchayrish and neufel aleim. Sometimes you have a Jewish heart that is depressed, that is sad, and a tzaddik has to know to blow away the particles of sadness that weigh down the heart. That ofar, dirt, dust is from the yisoid. Ha'atzvus is the quality of sadness and of depression. Of the four elements of the universe, wind and earth, water and fire, earth represents depression and sadness and laziness. So you have a Jewish person whose heart is heavy with depression and sadness, Amar Shchayra, God forbid, there's a blackening and a darkening of spirit. So the tzaddik sees such a Jew, and the tzaddik has to know that here is a heart that is being weighed down by sadness, a flame that is being extinguished, that's being extinguished, a Jewish heart, a fire, that's being extinguished by particles of dust, of sadness. And the tzaddik has to know to blow away those particles and to give this Jew hope and to be mechazik him, to strengthen him. Because of these particles of sadness, of dirt, these particles of sadness, of depression, prevent this Jew's heart from burning with a flame of love and of devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when the tzaddik and when the leaders of the generation blow away the particles of sadness, because the tzaddik is a man who knows the ruach that is necessary. He knows how to blow away the particles of sadness. So when he does this, so the choizrin v'nischarbrin chelke ha'esh b'kol echad v'echem Yisrael, then the parts of the flame that are in each Jew join together again. We'll come back to this much more later on. Join together again. V'nischash Yisrael b'yachad. And then all Jews, each Jew was like a little spark of that flame. And when the particles that are obstructing are removed, then all of the tiny little sparks or flames join together to form this magnificent, this splendorous shalheviska, this great, enormous bonfire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Jewish people. And every Jew becomes the turns his heart to Hashem. So that's the way of using, that's the way that the tzaddik uses the wind or the spirit, the wind. He understands that this Jew needs to be lightened. So the tzaddik understands to blow away the particles of dust, equaling sadness and depression and heaviness and smallness, to blow away these particles from this heart. The Jewish people are the heart of the world. The tzaddik is like the lungs that blows this air upon the heart, to take away from the heart the distressing presence of these particles that obstruct the proper burning of the heart. So that's one function of the tzaddik. Now we'll see that each Jew is a tzaddik, and each one of us has to do this with ourselves and with others. Ach lefamim, now the other side. Because the same way that a wind can be used to cause a flame to burn better by blowing away the particles, remember that it's also another property of the wind is that it extinguishes a fire. Yeah? It puts out a flame. Ach lefamim kishemanashi ruach sa'ara azayhu mavir ha'esh ma'oich lusman amidam. Sometimes the heart of a Jew is burning in a way that is not controlled, that is not healthy. Sometimes the heart of a Jew, in the heart of a Jew, there is a storm of fire. It is too stormy. There's something unhealthy. What does that mean? Remember that Har Sinai, when it came to the giving of the Torah, that the mountain was surrounded and was forbidden. Pen Yahar Sulala Salashem. The Jewish people were warned to be careful, to know where you can go and where you can't go. Because there are some places that a Jew has to know are forbidden, even in the service of Hashem. You don't belong in that place. You don't belong there. It's not for you. It's not according to where you're holding. You're not holding by that. You're not on that level. Your heart is burning in a way that can, God forbid, destroy you. One mustn't seek things that are beyond his capacity to understand. One mustn't seek levels that are beyond one's capacity to understand. Everybody in fourth grade wants to already study Zohar. And one mustn't push. A person mustn't try to rise up to a place, to the mountain, if it's not your place there yet. You have to wait patiently at the bottom of the hill and go up one step at a time. Many, many Jews fall because they don't know how to do this. Therefore, when you see a Jew that's burning in a way that's too much, chutz min amida, the tzaddik, the friend, the Jew himself must understand that the ruach here, he must understand the ruach of this friend, of this person, of this Jew, and he must know, that this is a stormy wind, this heart is on fire in a way that's dangerous. Ve'eliyahu, listen to this, is an amazing thing. I'm going to try to explain this in the discussion. Among all the great men of Tanakh, there was one amazing, amazing, spectacular tzaddik who knew how to work with these two winds. He himself, as you know, Eliyahu Navi, was a man that was on fire with the love of Hashem. He didn't even understand this world. He couldn't stand the world. Now, Barbanel says the reason that Eliyahu Navi wasn't buried, you know, he wasn't buried, he went up in a chariot of fire. The reason that he wasn't buried is because because the world was so not fitting for his burial. He so much despised the ways of this world that it wouldn't be fair to trap him here, even his bones. The world was so much not to his liking, the physical world. But look at that. Look what it says about Eliyahu Navi in the pasuk. Isha sherochav al susei eish basari. He was a man that knew how to ride upon, to control the horses of flame of fire in the midst of a wind, of a storm. What does that mean? Da'ainu ha'eish ha'doylek b'yoysev na'midah shabayde ha'sa'ara kanal ha'eliyahu rochav al zamachniyah. Eliyahu had an exquisite sense, a beautiful, finely tuned sense of when a Jewish heart was on fire in a dangerous way, And Eliyahu Navi was riding upon the chariot of fire. Riding upon means he was in control of it. He knew how to direct the fire of a Jewish heart. You couldn't have written such a thing, no? So let's understand. Let's understand what this means. The tachlis of being a Jew, the goal of being a Jew, the tachlis that we're looking for, is somehow in our lives to reach a certain madrega, to feel a certain, a little bit, if we can, of shalhavis, a hislavus alev, that the heart should become a little bit on fire. That's what we want, that's what we're hoping for, that's what we're looking for. Now, we don't know what it means, a heart. If you ask a doctor what a heart is, he says it's a messy organ of the body. It's a delicate, messy organ. But this we know, that the Navi, the Tanakh says, describes the heart as lev mevin. The heart understands. The heart is the place of bina, of havan, of understanding, and of depth, and of feeling. Not of an intellectual type. Because everything depends on the heart. Rabbi Nachman said an amazing thing in another place. It says in the pasuk, lev yodeya maras nafsha, that the heart of a person understands. The heart of a person understands the bitterness of his spirit. When a person is bitter, when a person is feeling bad, the heart understands that. And Rabbi Nachman says that when a person becomes very, very upset, when a person becomes very upset, then what happens is that there's a rushing of blood to the heart, and he even can feel palpitations, right? The heart begins to be affected. We know that, God forbid, if a person who has a heart condition is extremely, it undergoes a terrible, stressful situation, chalila, so we know that that's very dangerous. We know that the effect can be chalila, it can kill the person. So Rabbi Nachman says, you know why that is? Because since it's the heart of the person that truly understands things, the same way that when there's, God forbid, some problem in the world, then all of the people rush to the wise men, right? When something goes wrong, even if it's not in the world, in a place where you are, and there's some crisis, then everybody immediately turns to the wise men, right? Everybody runs to the wise one, and they say, Rabbi, what should we do? A professor, what should we do? A doctor, what do we do now? What should we do? So since it's the heart that understands, whenever a person is in danger in any way, either emotionally or physically, so Rabbi Nachman says that all of the blood and all of the organs of the body understand that really it's only the heart that understands in depth. Therefore, all of the blood rushes to the heart and the heart palpitates and beats when all of the blood from the body rushes to the heart to receive understanding. And by the way, since the Jewish people are the heart of the world, as the Kuzri taught us, just in parentheses, you understand that whenever anything goes wrong in the world, how all the goyim come to the Jews. Whatever that means, they come to us to kill us, to step on us, they come to us to understand, they come to us to explain, to seek guidance, whatever it is. But just like whenever there's a danger in the body, everything in the body rushes to the heart because the heart understands. So the Jewish people are the heart of the world. When anything is wrong in the world, when the world is not well, everything in the world rushes to the heart of the world and seeks the counsel of the heart of the world to understand and to ask or to kill or destroy the heart of the world. So the heart suffers more than any other part of the body. The heart understands, and because the heart understands, the heart suffers. And the heart feels the pain of all things. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has asked us somehow to take this heart that is so sensitive and so fragile and so delicate and amazing, and to somehow inflame it with a love for Hashem. I think I once told you that I heard in the name of a tzaddik from Lublin. I'm not sure where I heard this. I'm not certain that it happened from a tzaddik. I don't know if it happened to a tzaddik, but I heard it that it happened. This is what was with a tzaddik from Lublin. When Reb Tzadik HaKohen, you've heard of him, some of you have heard of him, we've learned about him, Reb Tzadik was a was a mind that comes into the world only once every thousand years. So Tzaddik from Lublin was not brought up among the Hasidim at all. As a matter of fact, he was brought up in a way that was in many ways opposed to the ways of Hasidus. He was a towering intellect, and he had little patience for overly emotional types. So when Rav Tzaddik came, he had to go through Europe for a certain reason. He had to leave his home, and he was going wandering through Europe, meeting all kinds of great scholars and rabbanim. So when Rav Tzaddik came to Izhvitsa, to the place of the great tzaddik, the Rebbe Mordechai Yosef Izhvitsa, when he came to that place of Izhvitsa, So he went into the Beis Medrash, he went into the yeshiva, no one knew who he was, he was famous in the whole Europe, but he didn't say who he was, he didn't announce Tzaddik HaKohen is here. He went and he sat down, and he opened up a Gemara. The great Tzaddik, Reb Mordechai Yosef, who never had met him, felt the presence of this amazing person in the town, and he sent his servant, and the servant came into the yeshiva, Reb Tzaddik was sitting in a corner with a Gemara, and the servant came there, and he went over to Reb Tzaddik, and he said, and the servant of the Rebbe said, I was sent by the Rebbe of Mordechai Yosef. He knows that you're here. Your name is Tzaddik HaKohen. And he told him a little bit about his life, and the Rebbe would like to see you. So they say that Rebbe Tzaddik HaKohen looked up, and he said, you could tell the Rebbe that I'm not impressed. Like, no. And he sat with the Gemara, didn't he? Like, it doesn't impress him. And he sat like that. He didn't go. So it was a few days, and it came to Shabbos. Rebbe Mordechai Yosef sent for him a few times. And each time, like, with a different sign, a different this, and Rebbe Tzaddik kept on learning. So then it came Friday night, Rebbe Tzaddik walked in. Rebbe Tzaddik walked into the tish, the table by Rebbe Mordechai Yosef, and the Izhvitsa right away invited Rebbe Tzaddik, no one even knew who Rebbe Tzaddik was over there, but he invited Rebbe Tzaddik to come to the head of the table. And Rebbe Tzaddik stayed in the back. On Shabbos, the table in the afternoon, in the morning, same thing, Rebbe Tzaddik just stood in the back by the wall. He stood up the whole time and sat and stood by the wall and didn't seem to be involved at all. So they say that by the third meal of Shalosh Udas, Rebbe Tzaddik was standing in the back. It was already dark, and the Izhvitsa was talking. And all of a sudden, Rebbe Tzaddik began to scream. He began to scream that the Rebbe's burning me, the Rebbe's burning me, the Rebbe's burning my heart, my heart's mamish burning. And everybody was quiet, and Rebbe Tzaddik was screaming. And then he was quiet, and everybody was quiet. They were very shocked by this outburst of the quiet Jew from the back. They didn't know who was there. They didn't know there was a Jew whose heart was finally lit after years of having a mind like that. And then Rebbe Tzaddik, it was quiet, and Rebbe Tzaddik began to cry, and he says, Rebbe, chadnish kan hearts. Rebbe, I don't have a heart. I don't have a heart. So they say that the Izhvitsa screamed back to him, Ehot the hearts, you have a heart. But you have to enhearten your heart. You have to make it on fire. You have to burn it. The heart has to burn. You know, from that time, Rebbe Tzaddik never left the Izhvitsa. Ever. Mamish never left. Didn't go away from Izhvitsa from that time. When his heart became on fire, he didn't go. So there, the wind of the tzaddik removes the obstructions, takes away the particles of sadness, of falseness, of the ego. You feel it? It happens in the story of Reb Tzaddik, not that we can understand Chas V'Shalom, Reb Tzaddik even before that wind blew upon him, that God forbid, we don't know Reb Tzaddik, we can't even talk about him in such a way, but that the tzaddik blew away from him the particles, and the heart of Reb Tzaddik caught on fire in the most amazing way. But then the wind has another effect. There's the cooling wind. Until now I'm talking about the fiery, stormy wind that is necessary to blow away the particles of sadness, of smallness. But then you have the cooling wind. What is that? So we explained when we were learning the piece in Likutei Maharan that sometimes there's a heart that is burning the person altogether. And Rav Nachman began with the piece from the Tikkun HaZohar that says that the lungs must blow upon
must blow upon the heart, because if the lungs wouldn't blow a wind upon the heart, then the heart would destroy the entire body, meaning that the Jew would be destroyed by his heart, which is too inflamed, which isn't under control. Of Jews who are trying to go too high in Har Sinai, of people who are trying to run into Eretz Yisrael before the time, of Jews who are trying to bring Mashiach before his time. And when the flame is burning in a way that is not controlled, so then the tzaddik has to come with the cooling wind of the lungs. And here the tzaddikim have taught us that the lungs, is there anybody here that knows how the lungs really work? I haven't studied it at all. But it says in the Zohar that there are five kanfei harei, there are five parts of the lungs, or five wings of the lungs. I don't know how this would be called in English scientifically. And again, I'm not overly concerned, but it would be nice if anybody would have a definition for the different parts of the lung. I suppose I should have researched this before. But there are five parts of the lungs that blow upon the heart. And the tzaddikim say that the five parts of the lung correspond to the chamishei chumshei Torah, the five parts of the Torah, the five books of Torah. Because what is the purpose of Torah? The purpose of Torah is to show a Jew exactly how to live. The word Torah, as we've spoken about itself, the word Torah means lahoros, or to teach, or to show. So what's necessary is that when you have a Jewish heart that is on fire, perhaps in a way that is not exactly correct or proper or appropriate, so then there's a wind of the lungs, the five parts of the lungs, the five books of the Torah, which means the study of Torah. Study of Torah, or the written Torah, of Torah Shebal Peh, of Halacha. It's only with the study of Torah that the fire remains under control. You understand this? That a Jewish person who is, you know, real, you know, is into all kinds of mystical things and Kabbalistic, wonderful, emotional, you know, all kinds of esoteric, beautiful stuff. If this Jew, God forbid, is not immersed in halacha, does not study halacha, so then we understand that we are creating a dangerous monster. A monster, a nut. People who have been destructive in the world are created by such mystical fantasies without being under the control of the five books of Torah. So the five parts of the lungs equal the five books of Torah, which equals the way of Torah, the way of Halacha, to control the burning of the heart, that it should be b'mida nechayna v'haguna, that it should be in the proper, it should burn with the right kind of a flame. Now let's understand. The tzaddik is a person who knows the ruach of each one. And we know that a Jewish person is compared to a candle, ner Hashem nishmas Adam, that the neshama of a person is a flame, is a candle. So it means that in a Jew's relationship to himself, he has to be bucky, he has to be proficient, he has to be an expert in two things. This is just sort of a summary before we go on to the next step. He has to be an expert in two things. He has to be bucky in two things. The first, at a time when a Jewish person is feeling some level of despair, some type of sadness and despair, he's feeling down, he's feeling out of it, he's feeling lazy and small. So he has to know how to blow that off of himself. In other words, each person, just like the tzaddik has to understand every Jew, each Jewish person has to understand every part of himself and has to understand his own moods. And a Jewish person has to know that when the mood is a mood of despair, that the ruach, the wind that must be blown upon the heart, is a wind that removes the particles of sadness, and one must uplift himself with all manners of his chaskas, of strengthening, of encouragement, in order that the flame of the heart should burn in a good way, to get it going. That's one level of bekiyas, that's one type of proficiency that a Jew must be an expert in. How to enhearten the heart, to inflame the flame, to ignite. The other thing that a Jew must be bucky in is the power of tzimtzum, of constriction, of holding back, of knowing when something is not for him, and to know when he's going to a place that he shouldn't be going. And I'm telling you, I've seen many, many fine Jews that have been hurt by such attempts, including myself, at different times. And it's a very, very dangerous thing to engage in. Person has to know where he's holding. Person has to know where he or she is holding, and to know and to be under the to be directed by a tzaddik, by a Talmud Chacham, by a Jew who knows you and understands your moods and what you're capable of. So we have to hold on to these two heads of the rope. The power of blowing to ignite and the power of blowing to extinguish. Now, that's Aleph. We're not going to go all the way till Saf, so don't get nervous. And that's Aleph. Now, Beis, Rabbi Nachman stuck in there in the Torah, and I just went through it very, very quickly. Rabbi Nachman inserted there that what happens when the flame is being kept in a healthy way is that the different parts of the flame, he said that every flame has in its different, the word is not pieces, I'm not sure what the word would be, sparks or whatever it is, every flame has in it different parts. And Rabbi Nachman said that only when the tzaddikim are blowing the winds of Torah and of Yira, of love and fear of Hashem in the proper way, upon the heart of a Jew, of the Jewish people, only then do the different parts of the flame, only then do the different parts of the flame join together to form one fire, and then and only then can the Jewish people really be the Liba de Kol Alma, the heart of the world, when the flame has become united into one flame. So what the Rebbe is saying, what the Rebbe added with this is, that one method that is being used to create particles, to weigh down the heart of the Jewish people, is when you have machloikis, when there's dispute and arguments and hatred and fights and pettiness that separates one Jew from another. The fire of machloikis that separates the different parts of the flame. And Rabbi Nachman said that depression and sadness is not the only thing that extinguishes a fire that must be blown away. But each Jew is a little flame. And when there's something that's preventing it from joining with the Jew next to him, whether it be jealousy or hatred or whatever it may be that keeps one Jew from another, then the different parts of the flame are separated and the flame cannot be brought together to burn in a healthy and a good way. That's why Chazal told us at the end of Brachas, Leimotza Kadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Brach LiYisrael Ela HaShalom, that the only true vessel that can contain blessing is peace, is shalom. The only true vessel, the only kli that can contain the candle of the Nishmas Adam of the Jewish people that it should burn in a healthy and good way is shalom, is peace. Is that there should be peace between each part of the fire. Now, keeping this in mind, keeping in mind what I just spoke about the second, this is sort of in a little bit of a parenthesis, keeping it in mind, let's talk for a moment about the tragedy of Sfira Sa'omer that we're living right now through, that everybody knows that it was during Sfira Sa'omer, Mipesach HaDatzeres, it was during Sfira Sa'omer that the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died. Yeah? And everybody knows that the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died, as the Gemara says in Yevamish, Le'nogu Kavod Zeh B'Zeh, they didn't honor each other, they didn't love each other. They didn't connect to one another properly. Each one was a fire. But a fire that didn't connect them to the flame of the Jewish people. 24,000 brilliant students, 24,000 separate little pieces of fire. 24,000 sparks. It never congealed, it never bonded together, it never became a flame. And because of that, The 24,000 students were not able to receive the awesome, powerful light of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva was the one who taught that ve'ahav l'recha kamecha, that when it says in the Torah that you should love another Jew as yourself, zeklal gada b'Torah, that is the great, great, most fundamental principle of Torah, is that Jews should love one another, that flames should not remain little flames, they should become a big fire. And the students were not able to receive this teaching properly. They didn't have that which is called shalom, and only shalom, only with peace, only with loving another Jew, does one create a kli, a vessel that can contain the bracha of the Rebbe, the bracha of the Tzadeh. That's what Rabbi Nachman was talking about, is the pieces of the fire joining together in a healthy, good way. So because of that, because the little pieces were kept separate, and each one of the 24,000 students remained a separate, distinct flame, You know what happens to separate little distinct flames that go out? So the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva were extinguished. And you could be sure that Rabbi Akiva was blowing in desperation with the wind of Ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha, with a great wind of encouragement and of love, because he taught that that is the great principle of Torah. And despite that, they died, and they never were able to reach the level of shvuos, of receiving the Torah, which teaches a Jew how to receive life in a proper and healthy way. They never reached shvuos. And then you have Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the student of Rabbi Akiva. And let's try a little bit for people of our level to connect a little bit to the Tana, to the great Tana, whose Hilula, whose great Simcha is coming up shortly, the Tana Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was a student of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai survived. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai revealed in the Zohar HaKadosh the essence of his soul. And he said, Anan b'chavivus atalya. Anan b'chavivus atalya, Rabbi Shimon said that I am the love of the Jewish people. My whole life depends on the love of Jewish people. And if a person has ever studied the Zohar HaKadosh, then a person would notice that you can't go a page without Rabbi Shimon using the most endearing, precious terms for the Jewish people. He doesn't call the Jewish people Bnei Yisrael. Bonai Chavivai, precious children, beloved children. Ahuvai, Reyai, my dearest friends, my beloved, precious Jews. That the whole thing of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the correct in the world, and that's why he suffered as a result of being separated in the cave and that whole business that we'll talk about when we get to the Lagbayim and Mitzvashem. That's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The job of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Zohar HaKadosh is to reignite the flame, to bring the flames back together with enormous ahava. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai poured into the world astounding love of the Jewish people, and the Zohar HaKadosh is based to a great extent on the love of Klal Yisrael, on Hashem's love for us and the love of one Jew for another, that the flames should burn together. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the Tikkun HaLev. So his Hilula comes on the 33rd day, which is after Lamed Beis Ba'Omer. Lamed Beis Ba'Omer, the 32nd day of the Omer, is Lev, his heart. And since Rabbi Shimon is the Tikkun HaLev, since Rabbi Shimon's job was to correct, to inflame, to engulf the heart of the Jewish people, to bring them back, and to light them up with each other and with Hashem, therefore, the heart of the Jewish people was broken by the death of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came after the broken heart on the 33rd day when he revealed the Idur Rabba, the greatest teachings of the Zohar, the completion of the Zohar, the day of his great Hilula, of the rising of his soul to Shemayim, Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the Omer. Therefore, you should know that the greatest avoda, the greatest thing to worry about by Sfiras Omer is not whether or not you're allowed to shave on Fridays, or whether you're allowed to listen to Dveikas as opposed to Miami Boys Choir. These are not the great shilas that deep people are asking on Sfiras Omer. The great questions that Jews have to work with and deal with during the Sfiras Omer is to correct the midas halev, to correct the characteristics of the heart, and essentially that one Jew should care for another Jew. To be misakin, to correct, to rectify and fix the damage, the heart that was broken by the students of Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, before Mashiach comes, Elionovi is going to come to the world. And why it's Elionovi should become clear in a moment or two. Before Mashiach comes, Elionovi is going to come to the world, V'heshiv levovos habonim levonim alavoyisam, to restore the hearts of one Jew to another, to prepare the hearts of the Jewish people to receive Mashiach. That's the whole job of Mashiach, there should be peace in the world. The Gemara itself says, Ein Eli Ova, it says in the end, in the Mishnah in Adias, it says, Ein Eli Ova, Lelarachiv, Lelakariv, the whole mission over there, that Elionovi is not coming to bring Jews closer, to send them away, or to bring, tell who's a Jew, who's not a Jew. What's the purpose of Elionovi? Is Elalasa Shalom Va'olam, is to make peace in the world. To have the fire burning. To have the fire, the little parts come together and burn in a good way, in a healthy way. To fix the heart of the Jewish people. to fix the Jewish people, because the Jewish people are the heart of the world. And if the heart of the world is broken, then the whole world is broken. So Eliyahu HaNavi comes to fix the heart. Then we usually try to understand it. Well, then I usually try to understand it. You know, in our parasha, there's a very upsetting story about the death of Nadav, and Avihu. Aaron HaKohen had two sons that were the most precious Jews in the world. They were great, great people, right? And it bothers us. Something seemed to go wrong, and they were consumed by a fire. They were killed, right? It says in the Torah they brought a strange fire in, and they were destroyed by a fire that burned them up. So based upon Rabbi Nachman's teachings, as we're trying to understand it tonight, we could look at this parasha again. We were taught by Rabbi Nachman that the tzaddik, the leader, knows the ruach. And when he understands the ruach and how to use the wind, he knows that there are times to be silent, when the heart must be quieted and calmed down, and there are times that the heart has to scream and yell and fight. That's what we've been talking about till now. And that was the power of Eliyahu HaNavi, who was able to ride upon the chariots of fire. He knew how to use the wind and the fire to know. He knew how to use this wind and this power to control things that the fire shouldn't get out of hand. So what happened with Nadav and Avihu? Nadav and Avihu, it says, Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem eish zora shelotziva olson. Nadav and Avihu were in love with Hashem with a fire that burned in a way that wasn't controlled. It wasn't according to halacha. It wasn't with the restrictions of halacha. They went in a place they shouldn't have gone, in a way that they shouldn't have gone. Chazal are searching for reasons, are searching for explanations of what was the sin of Nadav and Avihu. What did they do wrong, Lamaisa? What was so terrible? So there are different explanations that are almost impossible for us to understand. One is Shahur Halacha b'fnei Rabban. They didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu or Aaron for permission. They went and they taught Halacha that in the presence of their rabbis. They decided what to do without asking the rabbis. That's one thing they did wrong. Another thing that they did wrong was, it says, Shesuya Yayin Nichnas Sulimikdash. They went in drunk. They had too much to drink, and they went in. And they shouldn't have. You're not allowed to. Another thing is that they didn't want to get married and have children. So Chazal tell us, they didn't want to have children. What does that have to do specifically with that day? That's not for now. But they didn't want to have children. If we study these chesroinus, these blemishes, on a deeper level, then we'll understand that all of these things are coming from one mistake. The mistake is the mistake of a Jew whose heart was mamish on fire. Nadav and Avihu, who were people who were in the storm of a flame, of a fire that wasn't controlled. Therefore, what happened is that they thought they were already holding by Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't need Moshe Rabbeinu. After all, they already read an introduction to Kabbalah. And I'm not making fun of Nadav and Avihu. I'm switching to people who think that they're Moshe Rabbeinu because they read a couple of books. So Nadav and Avihu, who are great people, didn't need to ask Moshe Rabbeinu. They're burning with their own fire. They're holding a madrega. They're right by Moshe Rabbeinu. They don't need to ask Moshe Rabbeinu. They're harah halach b'fnei rabban. Because when the fire is burning too much, you don't see anybody at all. So that's one thing. And why were they drinking so much wine? Because we learned on Purim that wine has the power of adaliyoda. Wine has the power, an amazing power for a person, to bring to remove the obstructions of the body, of things that are holding back. And these were people who were so on fire that the wine was something that brought about such an explosion, which is what they were seeking. To take feelings, you know, when a person has feelings, even if they're not so strong, and it's mixed with a drink of wine, you know what happens. So it's the fire of Nadav and Avihu, and for this reason they didn't want to get married and have children. The reason that they didn't want to get married and have children is because they felt, how are we going to serve Hashem in such a way, with such amazing fire and depth and exuberance, when we have to go to make a living? When you have to argue with kids, they should brush their teeth and tie their shoelaces. That keeps the flame low. So these two Jews, these two amazing people, not even a vihor on fire, literally consumed by a fire that wasn't controlled by the winds, the cooling winds of the lungs of Torah, of the Tzaddik Gedor. And why is it that the Tzaddik were not able to control that fire? That's not for our discussion now. But it didn't work out. It didn't work out. They didn't want to get married and have children. The Jew has to understand that Kosh Baruch wants you to serve him in this world. In this world, with the wife and the children, with the shoelaces, and with the brushing of the teeth, and with the nagelwasser, and with the fights and the arguments that go on in the house, and with the homework. That's how the Baruch Shalom wanted you to work in this world. That's what he wanted. That's how he, for whatever reason, if you'll be God, you'll do it differently. But that's how the Baruch Shalom did it. I was mentioning in Yontif that, you know, somebody once asked the Rebbe of Hirshel Zid the Chavar, so what did the Baal Shem Tov bring to the world that was different? I mean, when I said, what did the Baal Shem Tov bring? So the whole Marshal, I don't have time for the Marshal. But they asked the Rebbe of Hirshel Zid the Chavar, what did he bring? I mean, Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai was already in the world, and the Ari HaKadosh was in the world, and so what did the Baal Shem do that was different? So Rebbe Hirshel Zid the Chavar said that Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai taught the world that there's a God. And the Ari HaKadosh taught the world how to go up to God. And the Baal Shem Tov taught the world that you don't have to go anywhere. God will come to you. Where you are in your life, who you are, with your kids, and with your problems, and with your headaches, and with your tests, Wednesday night, all the different things that you got going on in your life. With all of those little things, you can be a big person. That's what Hashem gave us. That's our chelik in this world, to be great, in the context of smallness. That's the tachlis of this world. Nadav Navia didn't want to be controlled by that. Nadav Navia were not happy with that. Nadav Navia didn't want that simps. And they were burned mamish by the fire. Like it says, like Rabbi Nachman brought from the Tikkun HaZoyer, that's what happened to them. How were they destroyed? So the Zohar said that if the lungs don't blow upon the heart, then the heart can destroy the body. And Nadav Navia were destroyed by a fire. So now we can understand something which is amazing. According to the Zohar Kodesh, Nadav and Avihu Nizgalgulu Bepinchas B'Shoshekin Al Ma'ase Zimri. If you recall, later on in the Torah, the whole thing that happened with Zimri and the tribe of Shimon, that Zimri went with this, it was an improper thing how he went with a woman. And Pinchas HaKohen, with his great zealousness, with his great love of Hashem, with the fire that burned within him, Pinchas HaKohen went and killed them, and in doing so prevented the plague from spreading and destroying the Jewish people, right? So according to the Zohar, Nadav and Avihu's neshamas were nizgalgalu. The souls of Nadav and Avihu, the sons of Aaron, were destroyed, that we just spoke about. Their souls entered into Pinchas when he did that, when he killed those who were going against God. And when that happened, the souls of Nadav and Avihu were corrected, were fixed. Follow? Nadav and Avihu were fixed through the act of Pinchas. Therefore, according to the Zohar, their souls, when his galgalu, their souls entered into the soul of Pinchas HaKohen. And when Pinchas HaKohen went with the fire and he destroyed these people, so that was a tikkun, that was a correction and a rectification for Nadav and Avihu. So we understand that according to Chazal, it says in Bav Metzian HaMakabal, it says in Bav Metzian Kuf Dalad, it says in HaMakabal. The Gemara is talking there about somebody who met Eliyahu in a cemetery. The Gemara says that Eliyahu was Pinchas. Pinchas HaKohen, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Pinchas the grandson of Aaron, was himself Eliyahu HaNavi. One and the same people. Pinchas didn't die. He continued on in the form of Eliyahu HaNavi. So now we can already understand that how was it that Nadav and Avihu were corrected through Pinchas who Eliyahu, since the power of Eliyahu is to ride upon the fire and to control the fire, and Pinchas was a person that was burning with a flame of love of Hashem in an amazing way, but he went to ask Moshe Rabbeinu what to do. You understand the difference? That Pinchas HaKohen was a fire that was under control. Nadav and Avihu were a fire that was out of control. The whole power of Eliyahu is to control, to ride upon the chariot of fire. Therefore, Nadav and Avihu needed to have a rectification, a correction through the soul of Pinchas, who is Eliyahu, because Eliyahu is the one who rides upon chariots of fire. And Pinchas is the one who consults with Moshe Rabbeinu to know through speaking to the tzaddik, that the tzaddik knows how to blow the wind upon each heart according to what that heart needs. And Moshe Rabbeinu blew the wind of control of Eliyahu HaNavi upon Pinchas HaKohen, who is Eliyahu, in order to make sure that this would be done in the proper way, and that Pinchas would do what he would have to do, and he did. And Hashem rewarded him with Bris Kahunas Olam, with an eternal covenant of the priesthood of Kahuna. And now we understand the event a little bit differently, the event of Eliyahu Novi on Har Carmel. You remember the story of Eliyahu and Sefer Malachim, Eliyahu Novi on Har Carmel. We've spoken about it before. There were the prophets, there were Jews who were believers in the prophets of Baal, and at Har Carmel, Eliyahu Novi proved once and for all that that's a lie. You can't be a believer in Baal and a believer in Hashem. And you remember that the fire didn't come down to consume any of the altars of Baal. And then a huge, amazing flame came down from Shemayim and completely licked up the altar and the water and the wood and the stones and everything from the altar that was built by Eliyahu Novi, right? That's the story of Eliyahu and Har Carmel. So Eliyahu Novi brought down a fire into the world, because Eliyahu Novi himself was on fire. And he knew how to blow a wind to inflame the Jewish heart, to enhearten the Jewish heart like a tzaddik. He knew as a tzaddik knows. And Eliyahu Novi is the master of fire. He knows how to bring down the fire from Shemayim into the heart of a Jew. Therefore, what happens on Har Carmel is that these people who are worshipping Baal. Now, what does it mean to worship Baal, this Avodah Zarah? It means there are people who are not satisfied with worshiping Hashem the way that Hashem told us to worship. It's not enough. I'm not satisfied with the Shulchan Aruch. I'm not happy with the Shulchan Aruch. I want to do something else. It's not enough fun for me. It's not enough fun. You know, you have sweet little Jews that run around the whole time looking. They sell tzitzis with the blue, you know, the tchailis. And you have these people that everybody wants to put on the tchailis, the blue tzitzis. It's such a cool thing, right? Yeah, it's a complete and total narishka. Silliness. I'm not arguing with Yeshen Hanech what's chaylus and whether it's a mitzvah or not, God forbid. But how do you take a Jew that never read a Rashi in his life and that doesn't, and he wants to put on chaylus, he needs to have a blue string. What's the matter? The white strings are not good. They're good for the Chassam Soif and for the Vilna Gaon, for the Baal Shem Tov. It's not good for us. But where are the white strings? Mashiach will come and tell us to put on a blue string. Everybody has to buy the blue strings. And then you have people that, you know, I already told you a few weeks ago how I dislike those colored talaisim. So everybody goes out. People in Ahab, for thousands of years, Jews wore talaisim that are black and white. Now people want to buy talaisim that look like Yosef HaTzadik's robe. You know, Yosef HaTzadik had so much sorrow from that robe. You know that? He had so many problems from that robe. And Jews go around buying multicolored robes. It's a good thing. And what about Jewish women who are not satisfied in serving Hashem the way the Jewish women served Hashem for thousands of years? Jewish women that feel that to be a Jew, I have to put on tefillin and tassel and all these stupid things. You know, for thousands of years, it was able to be a simple Torah for Jewish women without holding a Sefer Torah. Now, I can't serve God without carrying a Sefer Torah. You ever hear such a thing? In order for me to serve God, I have to carry a Sefer Torah. Your grandmother was able to serve God much better than you. So all of a sudden, the same generation that runs the movies and shows and reads stupid books and all these things, only these women have to dance with Sefer Torah and simple Torah. Their grandmothers didn't. So, there is an Avodah Zarah in the world. You understand what I'm talking about. The Avodah Zarah of the world is not to be satisfied with God's Torah. And Eliyahu Novi was the one who knew how to put out that fire that was out of control. And he did it at Har Carmel. And when he did it, the scream went out. Hashem hu ha-Elokim. Right? Hashem is God. You know that Hashem is the fire, and the name Elokim is to put out the fire. I don't have time to explain this so much. Hashem is the flame. Yudke Vavke is the fire. Of awareness. It's the fire. Elokim, as you know, is din, is control. Hashem Elokim means that you have to know both ways. The way of Hashem and the way of Elokim. The way of creating a flame and increasing a fire. And the way of Elokim, which means hold it, take it easy. That's not for you. It's not where you're holding. Wait a minute. And this connects to something else in the parasha, and this with this I'll finish. I'll save a story for another time. You'd rather I tell a story than this, I'm sure. But I'm not going to. Because that wouldn't be true. No. I have to go somewhere. In the parasha, we have the din of the fish that's according to the Torah, we're only allowed to eat fish that has what two things? What are the two things that are necessary? Can't you tell me in Hebrew? Snapir v'kaskasis. Snapir v'kaskasis. So it has to have fins and scales. Those are the simonim of dagim taheru. Those are the signs of fish that are edible. Snapir v'kaskasis. So Reb Nosson Breslov says an amazing thing, that the snapir, which means the fins, are like wings that are for flying. That means to blow, to increase the flame. That means when a Jew is not, it doesn't, when a Jewish person needs more flight, like the lungs that flap upon the heart. So the snapir means the wind of the wings that are seeking to increase the flame. So this Jewish person, there's some particles of depression and sadness, so that the work of the snapir is to blow away the particles of depression. So the fins are like for flying or for moving or for growing and for more fire and more flame. That's the snapir. And the kaskeses is like the name Elohim, which is a shield to protect and to defend. The scales of the fish are the shield of the fish. And the shield of the fish means the quality of Elohim to control and to hold back and to know and to be patient and to wait. That's the way of kaskeses. There are two ways to serve Hashem, snapir and kaskeses. And the Jewish people are souls that are compared to dogim, to fish. I'll put this in parentheses now, that according to one opinion, it's brought down in Tosfos, brought down in Chazal, that Elyonovi was, even though he was a Kohen, he was on one side from Shevet God, and God is the mystery of dog, of fish. And therefore Elyonovi was the one who understood the control of snapir and kaskeses, because Elyonovi is God, is the world of God, which is the world of dog. And that's why Shevet God was on the border of Eretz Yisrael, because God or Dog or Elyonovi knows what to let in and what to let out. What must come in and what mustn't come in. That's the way of God who stood upon the borders of Eretz Yisrael. I just lost a couple of you. But that's, in parentheses, that's the way of God of Eliyahu, of Dog. And this is why maybe we eat fish on Shabbos. This is why maybe we eat fish on Shabbos. You know that there's a very, very deep mystical thing about eating fish on Shabbos, and that we're supposed to have it at the Seudos of Shabbos. It's not just a little custom, it's something that is in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, in Shabur, and the Shekelim. And according to the deeper teachings of Torah, it's very, very important, if you can, to eat fish at the Seudos Shabbos. And there are many reasons for this. Aside from the fact that there are many Gilgul and Neshamas that are in fish, different Neshamas that need to be corrected and helped through the eating of a Jewish person on Shabbos, especially in fish. But besides that, Shabbos has these two qualities. It has the quality of snapir and kaskeses. It is fish-like. And the reason it's fish-like is, on the one hand, Shabbos is there to cause Jewish hearts to burn. And Shabbos is the time of the Elias Olamis, where all worlds shoot up back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the time of an unbelievable Islavus, of the awakening of Jewish spirit. On the other hand, the very essence of Shabbos, as you know, is 39 Malachas, of control and what not to do, of how to hold back. So Shabbos is the world of Snapir v'Kaskeses, the world of Elyonovi, the world of Lev, the world of the Ruach, of Isha Sheruach Ba, to know the way of each person. Akash Baruch should help us, each one for our friends and each one for ourselves, to be sensitive to the needs of each Jew, especially in Ruchnis, to know that what's good for one Jew is not necessarily good for another. And even for ourselves. The Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us to have a behiris hadas, to have a clarity of understanding, to know when it's time to stand still and when it's time to move forward. Because when it's time for standing still and you move forward, you can fall back many steps. When it's time to move forward and you stand still, then you're lifeless, then you're dead. So a Jewish person has to be bucky in these two things, has to be completely proficient, has to be an expert in these. Jewish person has to be a baki, has to be an expert. They say in the Sfarim that the name Yudke Vavke and Elohim together equals the word baki. And baki means that you have to know these two worlds of Yudke Vavke and Elohim. Yudke Vavke plus Elohim equals the word baki, which means proficient, an expert in rising and falling, in going and holding. That's the tachlis of being a Jew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that we should feel a little bit of a fire. Every Jew has to believe that he has a flame, that he has a heart. It's just that we need to be a little bit more enheartened. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help all of us to see the time that Elyonovi will come. Amen.